Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Supreme Court essentially legalized school prayer. We'll see where this goes and how broad they try to take it, because we're just getting the ruling. This is Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, and the ruling just came down. This was a coach, Kennedy was a coach, who was going out on the 50-yard line and praying with the students from this school. And sometimes parents would join him. Over the course of a year or two or three, it had turned into a really big event. And the kids on the team were complaining, or some of the kids on the team were complaining, that they felt that if they didn't show up for the prayer, they would be ostracized. In other words, there was both peer pressure and coach pressure on them to participate in a prayer that they really didn't want to have anything to do with. Several lower courts said, no, there's this wall of separation between church and state, and this school is funded with federal dollars and state dollars, basically. And therefore, you can't do these prayers. And the Supreme Court said, nope, this is a 6-3 ruling, overturned it. Obviously, the three were the Democratic nominees to the court. The six were the Republican nominees to the court. Over at rawstory.com, they note, the appeals court found that Kennedy had never been disciplined for offering private prayers, but instead prayed out loud in the middle of the football field after one game, surrounded by parents, players, and members of the opposing team, as well as a local politician and reporters, after his intent to pray was broadcast through local news and social media. But when they laid it out before the Supreme Court, well, actually, one of the judges in the Ninth Circuit, where they turned him down, said that he offered a, quote, deceitful narrative, the coach. Oh, it's just a little prayer, and they can join in if they want or they don't want. Yeah. No, that wasn't it. It was an event. It was an absolute event. Over at Democratic Underground, Nance Greggs posts some really great stuff. And this one's titled, Who? It's up right now. Nance Greggs is talking about, well, you know, people choose not to bring a child into the world, to choose to have an abortion or use birth control or whatever, for a variety of reasons. But here's a new list. And I'm quoting from Nance Greggs' post at democraticunderground.com. Who wants to raise a child in a country overrun with racists and bigots? Who wants to raise a child in a nation that elects the stupid and downright insane to govern them? Who wants to bring a child into a world where, even if they survive a school massacre by a crazed gunman, they might not survive a world that climate change deniers will eventually render uninhabitable? Who wants to give birth to a female child who comes into the world as a second-class citizen with no rights over her own body? Who wants to raise an American citizen who is subject to having their rights taken away by a Supreme Court comprised of religious whack jobs and drunken sex offenders? Oh, and let's not forget a handmaid, a real handmaid. Who wants to bring a child into a country where a president can attempt to overthrow the government and is still free to try it again? And then they go on to say, at the same time the GOP tries to make abortion illegal, they are demonstrating why it might be a preferable option to giving birth. You know, it's kind of a sad and somewhat cynical perspective, but Can you disagree with it? I mean, you know, maybe the bringing the child into the world part, but all the points here, this is what America has become. And it's become this in large part because of one of the largest and most well-funded groups, Republican groups, that's out there now working to make the Roe decision even worse. This is a group that literally takes tens of millions of dollars in dark money, in money that you and I have no idea who it is, millions and millions of dollars, to put people on the court, to push decisions to the court, to get decisions out of the court. Basically, the Supreme Court has become the spawn of this group. The law is going after free speech on abortion, and it could put journalists on the line of fire. In 1964, there was a Supreme Court decision called Times v. Sullivan, New York Times v. Sullivan, in which, you know, this guy had sued the New York Times for defamation, and the Supreme Court said, no, it's a newspaper. You can't sue newspapers for printing things unless you can prove that they intended to hurt you. And so this guy, it's Coral Ridge Ministries Media, and they've been suing the Southern Poverty Law Center for years for defamation. They've lost over and over and over and over again in lower courts. And the Supreme Court today said, no, we're not going to hear the case either. But Clarence Thomas issued essentially a dissent to the decision not to hear the case, saying, no, wait a minute, we want to be able to sue newspapers and talk show hosts and television programs. So keep an eye on this, right? My piece over at HartmanReport.com is titled The SCOTUS Abortion Ruling Highlights the Dire Loss of Democracy in America. This is pretty important stuff. To start out, across America right now, women and girls are deleting period tracking apps from their smartphones out of the fear that police or bounty hunter vigilantes from red states can use that data to pinpoint people either getting abortions or who are having, shall we say, suspicious miscarriages. But that's not going to be enough. Donald Trump and Ajit Pai, when Donald Trump made Ajit Pai the head of the FCC, he was a lawyer for Verizon. He'd been on the FCC before, but he made him the chairman. And they ended net neutrality. Now, most people, net neutrality sounds like meaningless. Really, what it was net privacy. So now, under the law, and by the way, the United States is the only country in the world where this is the case. Every other country in the world says your internet service provider, the company that brings the internet into your house, may not spy on you. But here in the United States, your internet service provider, the company that's bringing the internet into your home, can read every one of your emails, can see every website you visit, can see which pictures you look at, can see, you know, basically everything you do on the internet. And not only can they see that, they can record that, and they can sell that information. And they do. So how did we get here? Well, by a 6-3 decision, the court ruled that the FCC could open the floodgates to tracking us. And, of course, Trump and the FCC. Most Americans think their data is anonymized. It's not. As I said, this is a felony in every other state. You think this is not happening? Remember Monsignor Jeffrey Burrill? Last year, this guy who was the chair, he's a Wisconsin Catholic priest, he was the general secretary of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, got outed and quit his job because somebody had bought information from a data broker that showed where his phone was and that he was using Grindr, a gay dating app, and he was hooking up with gay prostitutes. And he's gone now. That same information is still available out there. It's being bought and sold literally a million transactions every day. And it could just as easily be directed toward women and their menstrual periods as it was to this Catholic priest and his gay sex fixation or whatever. So what do we do about this? Well, first of all, let's define the problem, how we got here. The Senate is not Democratic. There are 21 states that have 42 senators that when you add them all together, their populations of all 21 of these states Wyoming, Alaska, Vermont, North Dakota, South Dakota, Delaware, Montana, Rhode Island, Maine, Utah, Iowa, Nevada, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kansas, New Mexico, Nebraska, Idaho, Hawaii, West Virginia, New Hampshire. Add them all together and their population is still smaller than that of California. But they have 42 senators and California has two. The last time a majority of Americans voted to put Republicans in charge of the United States Senate was 1996. Right now, the Republicans, the 50 Republicans in the U.S. Senate, represent 43 million fewer Americans than do the 50 Democrats. So number one, the problem, the Senate. Number two, the presidency. We've had four presidents in this century: George W. Bush, Obama, Trump, and Biden. Both of the Republican presidents, both W. Bush and Trump, lost their elections. W. Bush by 500,000 votes, Trump by 3 million votes, yet they were both put into the White House by this arcane thing called the Electoral College. And the result of the Electoral College is that all of the focus for advertising and electioneering around presidential elections every year is on these so-called swing states. 5, 6, 7 states determine the fate of America, and the rest of America gets ignored. Nobody even bothers to campaign in California. They know how it's going to turn out. Or Louisiana. It's the so-called swing states. So we've got a problem there with the Electoral College, and also we've got a problem with the fact that you've got a whole bunch of states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Louisiana, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky, for example, where the majority of people in those states vote for Democrats, which is why they all have Democratic governors, and yet their House and Senate are both controlled by Republicans. Well, why is that, even though a majority of people voted for Democrats? Because of gerrymandering. Again, gerrymandering is illegal in every other developed country in the world except Hungary, where Viktor Orban put it into place a couple of years ago in anticipation of his reelection run this last year. So he's now got a permanent presidency because of gerrymandering in Hungary. And by the way, all the Republicans say, oh yeah, Hungary, that's our model. That's what we all want to be like. And then, of course, you've got the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court seized for itself in 1803 in the Marbury decision the power to strike down laws. It's nowhere in the Constitution. They only did it a couple of times in the first century of America. They did it once in 1803 with Marbury. They did it once in 1856 with Dred Scott. And it wasn't until the 1880s that they started doing it on a regular basis. And now it's all they do is strike down laws and take back constitutional rights. Nowhere in the Constitution do they have this power. Thomas Jefferson, President Thomas Jefferson, spoke out against this loudly. His quotes are in my articles, as did President Abraham Lincoln, a Democrat and a Republican. So what do we do about this? Number one, we need to end the filibuster. And we need to pass legislation putting into law the rights defined by the Lawrence decision, the Brown decision, the Roe decision, and the Griswold decisions. They struck down Roe. They're coming for Lawrence, Brown, and Griswold. Oh, and Obergefell. I got to add that in. Obergefell as well. Number two, we need to add Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico as states, giving us four more Democratic-leaning senators. Number three, we need to expand the size of the Supreme Court to 15 justices, pass a code of ethics binding on members of the court, and initiate two term limits. Number four, we need to end the Electoral College through the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. If your state has not joined that, go to nationalpopularvote.com and check it out. Number five, we need to pass the For the People Act to end gerrymandering, voter suppression, political bribery, and the power of big money in politics. And finally, we need to restore net neutrality to our internet companies so that they can no longer legally spy on us with every keystroke and then sell your menstrual information. And none of these things are impossible, by the way. If Republicans were in the same situation Democrats are right now, they would have done all of these things. Chuck Schumer needs to grow a spine, and we need to turn out in massive numbers this November to add a couple more Democrats to the United States Senate and to hold the House and to take back state houses all over the country. If we don't do this, we are toast. It's that straightforward. Well, if legislation being proposed by the National Right to Life Committee is passed, you might be seeing me going to jail. Wouldn't that be entertaining? Well, I don't think so, frankly. They are pushing model legislation. I don't know if Alec has picked this up yet, but they probably will. NRLC, the National Right to Life Committee, the kind of, you know, anti-abortion central here in the United States, is pushing a law that would criminalize, quote, hosting or maintaining a website or providing internet service that encourages or facilitates efforts to obtain an illegal abortion. So now it goes beyond just websites. It also includes newspapers and publications and media and things like that. That's just, you know, one phrase from the law, but it's one that kind of clarifies exactly what I'm talking about. So under this law, if this law was passed at the federal level, or even in any state where I'm on the air, which is every state now, given the internet. I mean, even we don't have a radio station in Wyoming, but certainly you can get us in Wyoming on Sirius XM. You can get us in Wyoming on Free Speech TV on Dish Network, Free Speech TV on DirecTV, through TuneIn, your smartphone. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of, we're in every state. And if a state was to pass a law saying that it was illegal to, quote, encourage or facilitate efforts to obtain an illegal abortion. And I went on the air and said, oh, gee, look at this. There's a fund here at XYZ website where you can donate money to help women flee states where abortion is criminalized and go to states where it's legal if they need an abortion. If I said that on the air, which I may well be inclined to do, I could go to jail. This is how radical these people are. And frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if the Supreme Court backed them up, if the six whack jobs on the Supreme Court, these six Republicans on the Supreme Court, went along with it. There's a lengthy article about this over at Daily Kos by Ashton Lettimore for Prism. It's I guess this was originally published over at Prism. And Ashton writes, and the First Amendment may not offer much refuge. That would be, you know, the First Amendment that protects free speech and protects journalism. The legislation prohibits, quote, encouraging abortion access, end quote, which could mean anything, virtually anything. And that's by design. With laws like these, both the cruelty and the vagueness are the point. Conservatives have used precisely the same playbook with the Don't Say Gay laws and the so-called anti-CRT legislation, and the result is that a vast amount of speech is chilled without the state ever having to lift a finger for enforcement. All across red states around the United States, particularly in Florida and Texas right now, you've got teachers who are afraid to teach parts of American history for fear of being accused of promoting critical race theory. Schools that are wary of what they can talk about. You've got teachers who are afraid to use the word gay. One of the kids, you know, oh, Jimmy's got two dads. Oh, we can't talk about that. So even though Florida has not prosecuted anybody, under their anti-CRT laws or their Don't Say Gay bill, they haven't prosecuted anybody because everybody just shut up. This is what happens. The velvet glove over the iron fist of church and state. When religion conspires with political power, and political power is the only thing in the United States that holds at its disposal the ability to take your life or to end your life as a free person and have you spend the rest of your life behind bars in a cage. Only government can do that. And now what we are watching in real time, as we've got six Catholic whack jobs on the U.S. Supreme Court, imposing, basically trying to take us back to the days when the Catholic Church ran Europe. And make no mistake, you know, there's big money coming out of the Catholic Church on this. Now, I know every time I say this, somebody will send me an email or tweet at me, oh, you're being anti-Catholic. I am not anti-Catholic. I'm a fan of religion. I realize a lot of my listeners and viewers are atheists and agnostics. I'm not. And I think that there's a lot of value in a religion, and I think the Catholic Church does a lot of good in the world. I was honored to be invited for a private audience with Pope John Paul II, and you know, they flew us over to Italy, and well, we flew us over to Italy. They put us up there. You know, we were there for a, well, I don't need to go through the whole thing, but, you know, I'm not anti-Catholic. What I am anti is any religious organization controlling to the preferences of the religious organization or to the beliefs of the religious organization over the beliefs of other religious organizations, any government institution. You've got a Jewish group down in Florida that is suing about Florida's anti-abortion law, saying abortion is legal in our interpretation of Judaism. Now, it's not true of all Jewish groups, but this one, it certainly is. And they're suing, saying, wait a minute, you're stepping on our by putting your religious beliefs into law, you are stepping on our religious beliefs. And now these same people are trying to put this into law to go after journalists, reporters, talk show hosts, television programs. No more discussion of abortion? Really? Yeah, really.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
John in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Well, Tom, you know what? Before I get into why I called you, I mean, I think every American needs to ask themselves, why are we continue living in this country? I mean, it is getting so bad.
Because we have no choice. I mean, where are you going to go?
Well, you know, the thing is, we do have a choice. But the thing is, all these other countries that have universal health care, you can't get it unless you somehow prove and you pay part of the system, as you know. But no, I'm with you, Tom. I totally agree. But hey, quick question for you. You know, I find it really disturbing that, you know, we have all these different law enforcements, but the way this country is working out, it's just a free-for-all. I mean, it just makes no sense to me on how we are so out of control and there's no laws that protects the majority of us. And because we are the majority, why are we losing this fight?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and the bizarre kind of whiplash hypocrisy of this. On Thursday, the Supreme Court says states do not have the power to protect their citizens from being shot. Right? These seven states, New York and six other states, that have gun laws that say that you can't carry a concealed weapon unless you get a permit, and you've got to prove a need for the permit. That those laws are out the books. So on Thursday, the Supreme Court says states may not. No longer have the power to protect their citizens. And then on Friday, the Supreme Court said, but states may ban women from getting abortions. So no states' rights on Thursday, pure states' rights on Friday. It's like it's like, you know, upside down. It's like we've fallen through Alice's rabbit hole. John, thanks for the call. Doug in Wilmington, North Carolina. Hey, Doug, what's up?
I think you got the most intelligent radio program out there. So
thank you. We work hard at it.
Yeah, this thing with the coach praying in the middle of the football field, I hope and pray, even I don't really pray since I'm an atheist, but I just, when they have their little celebration, because you know they're going to make a big deal about this decision. They're going to probably have, you know, everybody in the stands out of the field. I love to see, you know, people of the Muslim religion or any religion off in the corner celebrate their religion and see how these people respond. Like,
I'd like to see the Church of Satan bring their giant statue of Behemoth, you know, with the horns and everything out onto the field and bow down to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, really? The state is supporting religion? Really? All religions?
Yeah. But I'm afraid this is going to really open more floodgates, you know, as like, you know, Clarence Thomas says, like, oh, now we're going to go after contraception and possible gay marriage. I'm afraid now all these religious people are going to say, you need to allow us to put our religious symbols, you know, like in public places like libraries, in the courthouses, and everything else. And I'm afraid here in Wilmington, last year or two, we removed like all the Confederate, you know, the statues and symbols and all that. I'm afraid the Supreme Court might say, you can't just, you know, deny these people their Second Amendment right and displaying, you know, what they believe in. So you got to put those statues back up.
That might be an extreme stretch, but I doubt they would use that rationale, Doug, but I'm guessing they'll figure out some creative way to do it. I mean, you know, if Scalia can say that, you know, a well-regulated militia being essential to the freedom of a free state or the security of a free state can be completely ignored in the Second Amendment, then they can do anything. I mean, these guys are absolutely shameless. Doug, thank you. Phil in Salinas, California. Hey, Phil, what's on your mind today?
What's on my mind is all those people that stormed the Capitol on January 6th, every last one of those should lose their right to vote and should be a tremendous fine, all 10,000. And the other thing is, since Trump released all the election workers' phone numbers to residents, we ought to release all the Republican justices on the Supreme Court where they live. And
just because evil has been done to one person doesn't mean that we should do it to another. Doxing people is not right. We shouldn't be doxing the court members.
I think all those people on January 6th, they need to have some jail time.
That's a different thing. If anybody participated in attacking the police or entering the Capitol building on January 6th, absolutely they should be prosecuted. But
I think past the first barricade that they tore down.
I agree.
You know, the icicle thing. All those people that went past that need to have some kind of fine levied or something.
Oh, you know, a bunch of them are going to prison. I mean, I believe that there's over 800 prosecutions now.
Yeah, but there was 10,000 that day there. They need to take all 10,000.
You know, there were 10,000 who showed up. Actually, I think the crowd was smaller than that. But there were a few thousand who showed up for Trump's rally. About 1,000 ended up at the Capitol building. You know, a lot of people didn't go in. They knew it wasn't right. We don't know the exact number of people who went in. But I think the FBI has that in hand, and I think they're doing a pretty good job. Phil, I get your outrage. I absolutely get your outrage. Thank you for sharing it with us. Brad in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, Brad, what's up?
I'm calling because I pretty much believe the Christians today, if Christ came back, they would want him hung on a cross. You know, I believe he was pro-choice. If you read his stuff.
It was the ultra-religious of the day who did, you know, petition Pilate to crucify him. It was the Sadducees, Pharisees, whoever it was. It was the ultra-religious, yeah.
His teachings, if he saw a woman on the side of the road with two children and she was pregnant, he would not say, there was no contraception back then, he wouldn't say, you need to carry that to term.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that we can say what Jesus would have said 2,000 years ago, and I definitely don't think that we should be basing our law on what he might have said or any other religion, frankly. We need to be basing our law in law. James in Los Angeles. Hey, James, what's up?
Hi, Tom. My way of putting it is like, the thing that got us here is 30 years of Vladimir Putin and Rupert Murdoch working together, fusing the Fox News Corporation with Russian intelligence to psyop the American population. And that's why a third of our country hates the rest of the country more than they love anything about our country.
Yeah, if you're looking for a hand behind the, you know, behind the puppet, if you're looking for the puppet master, I would direct you not to Vladimir Putin, although he helped out tremendously in the 2016 election with Donald Trump. And Trump tried to pay him back by trying to get us out of NATO and withholding military aid from Ukraine and trash-talking U.S. intelligence and shutting down two of our cyber agencies in the last year of his presidency. Trump did everything he could to help Putin. But I think that the bigger agent are this network of right-wing billionaires who have, you know, the state policy networks and ALEC and all these other programs. And they have been pushing and funding hardcore right-wing, democracy-hating Republicans for years and years and years, because those people simply say they will keep taxes low on the billionaires and deregulate their polluting companies. That's the hand behind the puppet, in my opinion, not Putin. Kevin, although Putin's got his own problems. Kevin in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Our lieutenant governor here, Mark Robinson, is already sending out emails talking about a nationwide ban. So, yeah, they're already going in that direction.
Yep.
My point, though, is since it's obvious this court is just going to throw everything back to the states and we don't have leadership that is enthusiastic about getting rid of the filibuster or expanding the court, we really need to focus our time and energy and money into these state races, state houses. Go back to a 50-state strategy. Stop assuming that we can't win in red states or we can't win in red areas.
I agree. Howard Dean had it right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got a lot of Democrats here in North Carolina. You've got a lot of Democrats down south. You've got a lot of Democrats in places like Kansas. You know, start pushing your money and resources and support the candidates down there. Support the Democratic Party in those states. Start moving the needle in those states.
Yeah.
Because that's where the battle is going now until we can get the numbers we need in Congress to pass laws.
Completely agree, Kevin. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Spot on. Calvin in
Kansas.
Yeah, okay, in Kansas. Hey, go ahead, Calvin. Tough to read here.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good.
We could solve this abortion issue real easy. Listen to the people. 89% of Americans support abortion in the first trimester. If you go to the second trimester, that support drops to 39%.
Which is Roe v. Wade. I mean, Roe v. Wade basically legalized abortion during the first two trimesters with restrictions in the second trimester.
But Casey gutted that. Casey took that out, and that was ruled on 20 years after Roe v. Wade. So, yeah, you could kind of blame Democrats.
I don't think Casey gutted Roe. I thought Casey fine-tuned Roe.
No, it did not.
Casey was where they defined actually the three trimesters.
Exactly. But how many states right now have abortions allowed in the second and third trimester? California.
Nobody allows abortions in the third trimester unless it's to save the mother's life. Nobody. I heard, you know, Louise and I tuned into Fox News over the weekend, and two or three different times I heard people say, oh, yeah, Democrats want abortion right up to the moment of birth. It's a bald-faced lie. Calvin, thanks for the call. Juanita in Presser, Washington.
Hey, you made my point about the Jewish religion. It's the main group of the Jewish religion that believes in abortion. It's these little groups that don't in the Jewish religion.
Right.
One other thing. What are they going to do to women who are pregnant or could be pregnant that discover they have cancer?
Oh, this has already happened. There was a story over the weekend about a woman who died because the hospital postponed her cancer treatment because they were afraid that it would harm her fetus. And, you know, the cancer got super aggressive and she died.
What do we do? Just let women die?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan.
That's crazy.
I agree with you. But, hey, fetuses are sacred.
Do you know, do you remember the first nationalized abortion case? Maybe you don't. The romper room teacher?
I don't. The romper room teacher, Miss, what was her name?
I forgot her name.
Miss Sally?
This,
no.
Something like that. She was on, this was a children's program.
Right.
She found out she was pregnant. The baby was deformed. She had to go to Sweden to get an abortion.
Whoa.
And it was deformed. It was severely deformed.
Right.
She lost her job. But I remember that. A romper room teacher.
That would have been the, what, the late 50s? The
yeah,
early 60s? Because
like
romper room
right.
was when I was a little kid, in like in the early 50s. And
right.
I don't think it even survived the rise of Big Bird. You know, it's
no, it was the beginning of it. But the whole point of it is, she had to leave the U.S. and she ended up losing her job. But I remember that story. I remember listening to it.
That's amazing.
And it did happen. But she had to leave the country.
That's amazing.
But the baby was deformed, severely deformed.
Yeah. I
what do you do with genetic diseases like Tay-Sachs?
Well, Tay-Sachs, a lot of people have Tay-Sachs disease, and you know, it's difficult and painful, but it's you know, I think that, you know, this whole issue of abortions for, you know, like the abortions for Down syndrome and things, that's sketchy territory. I think there's a legitimate debate to be held there, but I don't want to get into it, frankly, right now. Juanita, I got to run, but thank you for the call. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman. Michael in Chehalis, Washington. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Religion is helping to destroy this country. And if they want to use tax dollars to create their madrasas, these corporate Christians that want to create these charter schools, then by God, they should lose their tax exemption.
I agree.
Yes,
I agree. I've been saying
I'm
for a long time now.
Corporate Christians trying to dictate law in this country.
Yeah, I've been saying for a long time now. Outside of monasteries, I'm a big fan of monasteries. I think the monastic life is something that some people are drawn to, and I think it actually helps the human race. It helps society. But outside of monasteries, I think that churches, you know, they don't have to.
They're corporate, and
if they don't want to pay taxes, all they have to do is take all the money that they bring in and use it to support poor people. You know, if you don't show a profit, you don't pay taxes. Now I get
exactly.
it that, you know, they're right now exempt from paying local taxes, property taxes and things like that.
Faith-based initiative has always been a thorn in my side.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. Michael, thank you for the call. Dave in Federal Way, Washington. Hey Dave, what's up?
Hey, not too much, Tom. Yeah, I also wanted to speak on this topic of religious zealotry. And I think it really is the final ingredient or the final phase to us evolving from a police state to a totally fascist state. And frankly, to World War III, because I've been witnessing, you know, what I predicted with Russia coming to fruition. And, all right. Russia helped us when we occupied Afghanistan. A lot of people forget that or they don't want to think about it. And then they helped us by bringing in supplies, okay, mainly food.
Well, you know why that was? Because they had their own experience with Afghanistan. They knew which way the wind blows. They knew we were screwed, and they wanted to encourage us to stay there and hurt us.
they're outdoing us at capitalism, right? That's basically what it boils down to. But still a corporate structure, and they're watching what we're they've been watching what we're doing, right? Well, we went after Bonyads. A Bonyad is like an Iranian. When George Bush was king of America, we went after Bonyads. Bonyads are a charity that Shia Muslims primarily out of Iran use. We even went so far as to really it's amazing that the wire transfer company is still in business, the Western Union. It's amazing because those George Bush maniacs targeted them as a possible Bonyad cover.
Right. No, I get it. So what's the point you're trying to make here, Dave?
Yeah. The point I'm trying to make is Russia has just, with their settlements depository, they have just defaulted on their loans. Right. They've just did a default.
$100 million,
right?
Yeah.
What they're seeing is and then Vladimir Putin is going to Tajikistan and Turkmenistan. What this guy said to Gordon Brown, he said 80% of the world lives in what you call the so-called Eastern world. They are taking a wait-and-see approach. All right, Russia knows they are not going to be condemned as Muslims, all right? What's going to happen is they are going to take up the mantle of Christ, so to speak. Russia.
Oh, they've already done that. But the wait and see, you know, has to do with who's going to help us. I don't know if you caught it, but over the weekend, and Biden gave a pretty good speech about this, the G7 has assembled just a little less than $1 billion fund, a 800 some odd million dollar fund, to go into third world countries and say, instead of taking money from China for their Belt and Road program, we'll help you build infrastructure if you'll just hang out with us.
Okay, Tom, I can make it quick. Look, what are we getting wrong? What is Tom Hartman maybe getting wrong? This idea that two countries with a McDonald's don't go to war. There's another.
That was Thomas Friedman's idea, not mine.
Okay, but there's another parallel idea. That two Christian states don't do war. Muslims are
tell
the
that to Northern, Muslims. Tell that to Northern Ireland.
Yes, and Nazi Germany, as much as we don't want to admit it, was a very standard, predominantly Catholic, very standard Christian country. Right. We have this fantasy that they were not. They were deviant Christians. Deviant. The vast majority of them were very standard Christians, Tom.
Yeah, no,
they
I
were.
Get it. I get it. Sorry. I get it. Dave, thanks a lot for the call. Reichsbishop Müller was the official head of the church in Germany. I think that was in like 1936 or thereabouts. It was about halfway through Hitler's reign when he basically said, okay, we now have one official religion. Here's the guy. Susan in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Susan, what's on your mind today?
There was a man that called in on Friday and said that Trump is still in power. And through the Supreme Court, the coincidence is the timing of these Supreme Court rulings was when the news started getting really bad for Trump. And it seemed like that happened during his administration, too. Every time the news got a little heavy for him, he'd pull up some kind of distraction. And it seems to be happening again now. But the other thing I wanted to point out that I'm not sure if I'm right on this, but I think it's a little this weird coincidences on it seems in the Obama administration, wasn't it the Taliban that was recruiting on YouTube? They should take these videos down. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then you've got Eric Greitens, you know, the Republican running for the governor of what, Missouri, I believe it is. And, you know, running an ad where he's got a shotgun and he's saying, let's go rhino hunting. And then they kick in the door of a house and a bunch of guys, you know, dressed like militia, you know, wannabes. Are searching the house looking for a Republican in name only. I mean, I think that is an open invitation to terrorism, stochastic terrorism, arguably, but terrorism nonetheless. I'm with you, Susan. Thank you very much. Charles in Miami. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm a little mad at you, Tom.
You are? Okay, what are you mad at me about?
We was discussing, first of all, Trump's pressure on the DOJ. And then the next big bombshell was the Republicans' representatives that was begging for a pardon.
Right.
And this court is so political. This court is such a political body of the Republican Party that on both days they came out with either the guns and to distract us, and also they came out the next day with the abortion ruling to distract us.
Right.
You know, and I'm just like, first of all, what did we do to Trump about those same guys, those same troops?
Use the law against them.
What I'm trying to say is right now, wait. Just hear my argument out. Right now, we're not doing anything that radical. But what he would be doing is supporting the majority of Americans that do want our rights not to be taken away. First time, you know, that I think they said that the rights was taken away like that. And, you know, we have more bigger fish.
It's not the first time. Plessy versus Ferguson. You know, you had black people given rights, arguably, under the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. And then in 1896, Plessy versus Ferguson largely reversed that or reversed a good chunk of that. I can't think of another time. It's the only one I can think of.
But my other thing I wanted to tell you was just that the Republicans, these conservatives, have deified this president, the office of the president. And basically they had Trump walking around here like either a god or a king. He's not to be questioned. He was able to break all type of laws or norms, and they turned their heads. And we got to play at some archaic rule that, you know, well, it'll happen to us because, I mean, whatever we do, they'll do it to us. No, we're suffering right now, and we don't even know what the Mueller report looks like. So we don't even know what type of crap Trump did to be elected illegally.
Yeah, I'm with you, Charles. I just don't understand. Go ahead.
This is not normal time, so we shouldn't be approaching any of this as if it is.
But when you start breaking the law, you have lost everything.
I respectfully disagree in this point because, like I said, the majority of Americans want Roe, I'm tired of hearing about states' rights because what about the people's rights? It's supposed to be our government. Okay, we have, you know.
In 5 months, Charles, we have a chance to fix this. And if Americans don't turn out in massive, and by the way, I am hearing from Republicans that they are scared to death by this decision. They are really worried about this decision. And they're all putting on a nice face, you know, Kristi Noem going on TV this weekend going, oh, no, we're going to support women. Well, you know, you want to throw women in jail. Oh, no, we'd never do that. But, you know, but oh, no. We know what's going on, and not just that. I mean, you know, we have prayer now. Now you're going to see prayer in schools and things. Your point about guns in New York City, et cetera, et cetera. But what I don't get, Charles, is why you said you're pissed off at me. What did I miss here?
Because I feel like you started this show again about abortion, and right now, to be honest with you, I need to hear about January 6th. We need to put the focus back on this. And their wrongdoing.
Okay, you're disagreeing with my prioritizations. I get it. You know, reasonable people can have disagreements. Charles, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Is Scott in Seattle. Hey, Scott, what's up?
Matthew 6, 5 through 8. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the street corners to be seen by men. But when you pray, go in your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Amen?
And he will reward you in secret. Yeah, it's one of my favorite verses, Scott. And back in the day, when I was helping run a church in Detroit, I was very, very reluctant and on most occasions did not do it to lead public prayer because I think it's a violation of one of Jesus' suggestions that or commands, as it were. Public prayer is only done for the purposes of the public. It's not done for any spiritual reason. And
can I ask you a quick question?
These people are all hypocrites. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, considering all the lawmaking by the Supreme Court these days, are you concerned that now Trump has a better chance of getting power and being president again?
No. Trump is toast. Trump is toast. The question,
because I mean, can't they rule over all of the judgment we're trying to make over him right now? They're the Supreme Court.
Arguably, they have to have some sort of rationalization. Sheila in Winchester, Virginia, watching us on Free Speech TV. Hey, Sheila, what's on your mind today?
Tom, I need some sanity.
Okay, I'll try to provide it.
Well, let's see. We got prayers coming back to school, which is fine. Go ahead. It doesn't affect me. But I feel like I'm in 1952 with the abortion ban.
Yeah.
Now they want to, there's possibility of banning birth control and condoms.
Yeah.
We're banning books. We're going to ban marriage between two people that love each other with the LGBT community.
Yep.
My big question, how do I, as a proud American, celebrate the 4th of July this year? And with that, you are such a tolerant man. I'm going to take my answer offline and let you talk to us because we need help.
Yeah. Sheila,
thank
you. The way I'm going to celebrate the 4th of July is by doing everything I can, publishing or with what little money I have, to support Democratic candidates coming up this November. In particular, progressive Democratic candidates. But right now, we need absolute Democratic supermajorities to roll this stuff back, to get some control over the Supreme Court. There is so much we can do. It's what I laid out in my op-ed this morning at HartmanReport.com. We need to codify rights that the Supreme Court has given us in the past, like the right to gay marriage or, the right to interracial marriage. You know, we need to codify these rights into law because the Supreme Court gave them, the Supreme Court can take them away. So we need to put them into law so the Supreme Court can't do that. And that's going to take a substantial Democratic majority. And that's what we've got to do. That's where we need to go with all this. Thank you, Sheila, for the call. John in Seattle. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. You have a great show.
Thank you.
I was listening over the weekend to a lady. I caught her, pretty quick. It was Brenda Feigen, F-E-I-G-E-N. And she was so fascinating on the fact that she worked with Ruth Bader Ginsburg mm-hmm. on equal rights for women.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was a director for the ACLU, Women's Rights Project. And what she was saying is that it doesn't work for going to the Supreme Court anymore, and that the best way a woman can deal with her body and her situation is to go to sue under Equal Rights Amendment and go through the ACLU. And so if anyone is listening,
So is the argument, John, that because men have access to reproductive surgery, that would be vasectomies, that women should have rights to access to an abortion? Is it an equal protection argument?
Yes, yes.
That's interesting.
Yes, and she was really good about it. I just highly recommend her, women, to look her up because she's an attorney as well.
Right.
So she's just fascinating, and what she had to say was just so well said.
Huh. That's an argument I've not heard. I can construct it in my mind, but I've not. That's fascinating.
You can fight the cases under the Equal Rights Amendment. And she said that's about the best way to go.
Interesting. Interesting. John, if you can find
you can
a
maybe
clip
even,
or a link
even
or anything
her,
like that, if you could forward it to me,
if anyone could get a hold of her, that would be great.
We'll try. Thanks, John. Josh in Billings, Montana. Hey, Josh, what's up?
Whenever we talk about the Supreme Court here, we need to be calling it the radical right-wing religious Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are completely out of step with the majority of America. You know, there's an opportunity here to bring libertarians back into the fold of the Democratic Party. I lived in Colorado when we had Senator Mark Udall there, and he was great about standing up with Rand Paul, against the Patriot Act and those sort of things. And we need to really focus on that, on, the libertarian aspect of things. This abortion thing needs to be talked about. And the idea that Republicans have decided that a woman needs to get approval from politicians to deal with the consequences of a rape. And it's not government's place to be in that situation at all, let alone the birth control debate or anything else. And we need to get this back under control.
Yeah, and it's not just rape, and I think that we might tread dangerous territory if we try to make this all about rape and incest and things like that, because, you know, there are a whole bunch of reasons that women get abortions, and they need to be respected, period. But Josh, yeah. I absolutely get what you're saying, and you said it very well. Thank you very much for the call. Jill in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hey, Jill, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I've been loving you and listening to you ever since you've been on SiriusXM. So thank you for everything you do. And thank you for bringing to the attention the Republican Governors Association. I don't think a lot of people know who is actually behind the Dobbs lawsuit. And
they also pushed the January 6th riots, the Republican Governors Association. They were huge in that.
And very well funded. Mm-hmm. I had quite a weekend. I just want to encourage people like the woman that called in a little while ago, and all the people out there who are, you know, despairing, to, you know, get out there and support the people out there that are protesting and showing their disagreement of this ruling. I did on Sunday. We took it to the streets, and our leader got arrested, but we're working to get him out. And but just keep on trying. And another thing they can help is the latest Michael Moore podcast, Rumble. His executive producer, a woman, went into a protest, you know, with a microphone and kind of, you know, really quick interviews with all the people and the women out there in Traverse City, Michigan. And it's very hopeful and inspiring to hear these people all across the spectrum of all ages of why they're out there and how they feel. And it's very encouraging even just to listen to that. And also the reason I was calling in the first place is when you were talking about the Republican Governors Association, ours in Wisconsin, he's awesome, Josh Call. He's actually a Democrat, and you said he was Republican, but I'm sure you just saw it somewhere and it was misreported or whatever. But he's Democrat and always has been.
I actually
worked for the Democrat.
Oh, it said Republican in the document I had.
Yeah, no. You look at, I actually worked for the Democratic Party here in Wisconsin for 30 years, and he's always been, he's Democrat, always has been. And also our quietly brilliant Governor Tony Evers here is going to, when they do enact the zombie law, going back to 1849 for abortion services or anything related to it, healthcare workers, women, anyone affected by it that gets prosecuted, he is issuing a blanket pardon, or it's called something else in Wisconsin, I think, something else. But he's issuing a blanket pardon, you know, until something else can codify to be done to make it so. He will step in, and anyone that, you know, is attempted to be prosecuted, he will immediately pardon. And he's on top of that already.
Wow.
So he's brilliant, and I encourage people to take a look at that and encourage their lawmakers and governors of their states that, you know, to do that also. They can do that.
Great. Jill, thank you. Excellent points. Needed to be said. Chris in Watertown, Wisconsin. Hey, Chris, what's up?
If the immigrants were to say they had conceived children in America, that the Republican who says once you're conceived, you're born, wouldn't they become U.S. citizens automatically?
At conception?
Well, that's
there's no legal structure for that.
Saying, right?
Yeah, there's no legal structure for that.
Because it really says it's if you're born.
Let's say a refugee comes to the southern border, comes across the border. They say, okay, you've got, you know, 30 days till your hearing, and then we'll decide whether you can stay here or not. During that time, she gets pregnant. And then they say, no, you've got to leave the country, and they kick her out, and they send her back to Guatemala. When that baby is born, she should be able to claim that that baby is an American because he was conceived in America? Is that the point that you're making?
That and other ways. Even other ones who are already born say, hey, I was conceived in America. They could even come across and say that.
Right. Well, that's the example I'm giving you. That's sure. Interesting. I mean, these personhood bills, this is the Republicans have been pushing this stuff for a long, long time. And Cory Gardner, who was the for a while the Republican senator from Colorado, I remember when it made me so angry that NPR, Mara Liasson, went on and said, oh, Cory Gardner doesn't support personhood bills, at the same time that I was on the air quoting him supporting personhood bills. And I think she helped him get elected, frankly. I mean, that was like a decade ago. That was a long time ago. But these personhood bills that identify a zygote as a person with full constitutional rights are extraordinarily powerful and extraordinarily dangerous, and the weird side effects. Chris, I think you're just scratching the surface. Fascinating. Thanks a lot for the call, Chris. Good to hear from you. Marie in Hemlock, Michigan. Marie, I only have 30 seconds till the end of the show. You got a quick one?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to point out in the Bible, I've actually read the Bible, the King James Version.
Me too.
The book of Numbers, chapter 5, it says, and it's giving advice to what a man should do if he suspects his wife has had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causeth the curse. And they didn't have
instructions for an abortion.
It's an instructions for an abortion. And Simon from Cyrene in Libya was where they had the Siphium, which was an abortion drink.
Wow. Abortions in number, chapter 5, you said?
Chapter 5, verse 24. Thanks. In the King James, they've changed it to a verse in later versions by the most recent Christians.
I get it. Marie, thank you. That's fascinating. And I've read it. I've read the Bible 4 times, cover to cover. I used to do it to help me get to sleep at night. You can get these through the Bible in a yearbook, and it always put me to sleep. Anyhow, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you then. In the meantime, get out there, get active, tag, you're in. A lot going on here. We need to be on top of it. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.